Good morning, and welcome to this week's MTC Studio broadcast. My name is Dean Suzuki, and I'm your host this week. This week, we'll be talking about why are people leveraging the cloud, and what is the cloud? But before we jump into that, a couple logistical items. If you have any questions throughout the session, I'll be monitoring the Q&A here, so please feel free to ask any questions as we go through the session, and we'll be monitoring that. Also, we have attached a copy of the slides for today's session in the handouts section, which you can get to at the bottom of your screen. With that, I want to introduce my special guest today, Mark Skog. He's joining us from Chicago. Welcome, Mark.
Thanks, Dean. Great to be here today.
Hey, Mark, would you mind introducing yourself for the audience here today?
Sure. I'm Mark Skog. I'm part of our North American Technology Center group, which essentially allows customers to see the possibilities and the art of the possible with technology. And actually, it's pretty exciting this month. I'll actually hit 20 years here at Microsoft.
Wow, that's awesome, Mark. So, Mark, today we're talking about, you know, why are customers leveraging the cloud? But just to ensure that no customer is left behind, what is the cloud? You know, we read about it in the paper, in the news, in the magazines. What is the cloud? Can you help maybe just set the stage for everybody?
Sure, Dean. You know, I think a lot of the conversation that I like to have is to first bring it back to business terms. You know, I spend a lot of my time focused on the business conversation. And for me, the simplest example is really to start about the conversation around how you would watch a video at home. I might be dating myself here, but when I thought about watching a movie, I'd go rent a DVD or buy a DVD. At home, I had to have a DVD player. You know, a lot of times you'd have to talk to people about making sure that you had the ability to play that DVD and connect it up to a TV. It wasn't always that simple. Now imagine the experience today. You know, I have my Surface Book here. This happens to be my personal computer. I've got an iPad as well. We'll talk about multiple devices throughout the day here. But you know, I have the ability now just to purchase a video online, and I can actually just broadcast that either on the screen here or to my TV. I don't need an IT person in the room, and I can just purchase that service. So it's around bringing these new capabilities to customers in the enterprise sense without really the need for all that complex infrastructure.
So
if you think about the transformation that's possible now, it's really around taking services like email and being able to extend those into this quote-unquote cloud capability or service capability. And that means that basically you don't have to set up any IT infrastructure or have a huge cost overhead. But you have the best of breed as far as security, as far as being able to roll out the best capabilities, and tying in internal and external parties. You know, I often collaborate with people outside of Microsoft, and you know, if I'm in a PowerPoint or a Word document, I now have the ability to transfer and communicate that document to external parties, and even if they don't have the software installed via the power of the cloud, they can take advantage of interacting with me without having to worry about their infrastructure either. So that, in a nutshell, is really the high level of what we're talking about with the cloud. It's really services that you can put in place very easily and very agile for very low cost.
That's funny. You know, when you mentioned DVDs, I was back in the day with VHS tapes. Remember that, Mark?
I was going to go there, but thought I better hold off.
So that's a great intro to what is the cloud. So why are businesses, you know, considering the cloud? You know, this is something I'm usually very comfortable having my data in my data center. Why would I be considering looking at the cloud?
You know, I think there are a couple of key reasons people think about it. You know, at Microsoft, you know, we really filled out the environment to show was there are really three areas we talk about in this realm. The first is really about creating more personal computing. And you really see this evolution happen quite a bit. You know, as I walk around and think about how much I use my phone to do business now compared to 5 years ago, or, you know, the multitude of devices that I might be on these days. You know, a lot of the conversation is really about making sure that any device that I'm on, I have access to the latest information. You know, as traditional IT shops, and coming from an IT shop prior to Microsoft, you know, there's a lot of infrastructure you had to put in place to enable external devices to connect up, especially mobile devices. And it's really about making sure that that becomes much more seamless and integrated, I think, what's driving a lot of the customers. And secure. You know, how do you make sure that those systems aren't being hacked or exposing your corporate assets? You know, it's really around the reinvention of the business process and productivity as well. And I think the key on that one, Dean, is really to think about the fact that you could put new processes in place very agilely. You know, I've lived through a number of ERP traditional implementations. And when you thought about something like a customer relationship management system or, you know, integrating social, which is a big demand now, right, into marketing. You know, those were really long, you know, waterfall-like processes that, in, you know, the largest customers took years But even in small customers, they struggled to even figure out how to do it. And now you can simply subscribe to that as a service in this reinvent business productivity and process. And then that cloud is really about enabling those capabilities, right, in a way that gives you dynamic pricing based on what you need and just the right level of services for you both internally and externally.
So I guess the first one, like personal computing, that's like if I wanted my customers or even my employees to get access to their data while they're on the go, since most of us are on the go now, or even providing those services to our maybe my customers. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
I gotcha. And I think we're going to drill into each of these, so maybe I'm jumping ahead.
That's great. I mean, that's the conversation. I mean, really, this is all about the digital transformation. You hear a lot of buzzword talk around that today, but I think this is going to be one of the most powerful transformations that happens around businesses across industries and across the globe. Whether you're a small business of just, you know, a couple of people or the largest enterprise in the world, it's really about how do you make this transition? You know, the competitors are coming up faster than ever. When I think about different industries that I've worked in, whether that be insurance and banking and manufacturing, you know, these new competitors are coming up in a hurry, and traditional services that were being supplied by the market leaders at the time, their market is shrinking. And it's all around making sure you're providing this agility and this digital transformation. And that's really the conversation I want to have today and how we can help enable you to have that transformation across those tenets of personal computing, business process, and the cloud, intelligent cloud platform.
So those three components really make up what we believe is the digital transformation of a company today.
Absolutely.
Gotcha.
You know, that's really around how you can transform your business and how you can really take advantage of some of these new capabilities to lead as opposed to follow in the space.
Great, I got it.
So I thought, you know, maybe to make it real, we talked about what this would mean to a customer. I know, Dean, you and I have had several conversations. You know, to me, it's around netting it out. You know, there's a couple areas that I have a lot of conversations with customers where they're trying to make change. And I thought maybe we could explore those and talk about how the cloud might play in these areas. You know, the first of which is really how to engage your customers in new ways and in a richer, deeper sense of interaction with your customer. We want to go in after that to talk about how we empower the employees and really making sure your employees are very productive no matter where they're at, and to make the most of that resource that you have and that big investment. For most of my customers, employees are their biggest cost and their biggest asset. And so how do you leverage that in the best way? You know, how do you optimize your operations in a way that you get better insight, reduce waste, and get a more agile or dynamic model around operating your company? And then transforming your products, really. You know, how do you make sure that those life cycles are shorter? You can try new things without a huge cost model around those. And your implementation cycle or feedback cycle from customer to in-product evolution becomes much tighter and cleaner. So those are kind of the conversations I was hoping we could just have today and talk through a few examples.
Sounds great.
So maybe we start first with engaging your customers. You know, this is one I love. You know, my job at Microsoft, I spend almost every day talking to our customers and then hearing their experience on their customer journey. And, you know, it's changed quite a bit even for Microsoft as a customer. Of using a lot of these technologies and working with our base, that would be you on the call here, as customers, and how that really has changed. You know, one of the examples that I'm going to start with is really talking about an example here where, you know, you'll hear people talk about what this evolution really means. And if we take something as simple as an automobile, the automobile today is not what it was, you know, 10 years ago or even 5 years ago as an example of that. The expectation of new services, being able to tie in to capabilities, not just to get you your map information, but to alert you, for instance. I noticed I get a message on my phone as I'm traveling. Yesterday I was in Atlanta, today in California. As I need to go to the airport, it warns me based on current traffic when I need to leave. Imagine I hop in the car now and it auto reroutes me and then automatically calls on the next phone call to my customer that I need to follow up with before I get on an airplane. It's around providing those services that we're really talking about. So in this case, you know, Nissan actually chose the ability of using our cloud to really enable new capabilities to deliver faster and more cost-effective in a secure fashion to the vehicles that they're actually rolling out. And so I think this talks about that evolution of not waiting to buy a new car, but the car that you have getting new value and a better customer experience around that. Security is a key role. We'll talk about that a little later in the month, with just a focus on how to make sure that's a secure experience. So I'm not going to go much more into that on this conversation.
So, Mark, in this example, what Nissan's doing is they're connecting the car to some services that are running in the internet. Is that what's happening, if I understand that correctly?
Absolutely. You'd hear this as a classical Internet of Things conversation, and you know, that's a buzzword I almost want to step back from. I know we're going to spend a little later talking about that.
Yeah.
But really, if you think about what the Internet of Things is, it's around connecting to any device that you might have out there today that has the ability to connect up and provide information. So in this case, it's a car, right? And it's about being able to enable that car through new services, in this case in the cloud, and be able to leverage that cloud to provide, you know, the ability to scale this wherever you need it, in this case globally, to whatever device you need that on, and not to have to worry about that infrastructure, scale, or security, or reliability, disaster recovery, all built into that kind of solution.
So if I understand this right, Microsoft has services where if I have a product, I might be able to provide these services to my and add those to my products I'm currently selling, so my consumers can take advantage of that.
Absolutely. So we have packaged solutions, for instance, in this. You know, for those that are interested in the more technical side of it, it's the Azure Internet of Things Suite. So it's basically a package solution from end to end. And this is very different on how Microsoft's looking at these services. Throughout the day, we're going to talk about these pre-configured solutions that you can then tailor and add your unique business value to. And so rather than talking about a series of services you need to build as a customer, you can subscribe up to these services to do things on the Internet of Things or the devices, such as control the devices, add services to the devices, remote monitor and maintain the devices, all in pre-configured scenarios.
Great.
So again, very quick time to market around that. You know, another example I just really love is really talking about how do you provide that agile communication to customers. And this is great because I see this problem, again, whether you're a really small customer or the largest customer, it's really how do you attach to your customers in a new way, and even internally, how do you collaborate very effectively? And if you think about Skype, most people might use Skype on a personal level, right? How do you bring that into the business level without having to worry about deploying something new? So if your customer's on a Windows device or an iPhone device or an iPad or an Android device, they could simply connect up to your call center, for instance, or connect up to you as a customer in a chat window to hear about a product. And this is just one of the customer examples we can talk about where the rapid deployment really allows you to reduce cost and provide a new level of customer service around interaction.
Gotcha.
And Skype for Business is one of our productivity solutions. If you haven't heard about that not only provides voice, but the ability to do chat, share a desktop, and collaborate much more effectively.
So this is another scenario where, getting back to the theme about why cloud, maybe I don't have this service to provide my customers this communications or chat or video. I can just subscribe to the service in the cloud, provide it to my customers or even my internal employees who are working across geographies. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And it's that level of consumerization that you see already happening being brought to the enterprise. And what I mean by that is if you think about the traditional app store, right? I go to my Windows machine, or in this case, you see an iPad on the desk. I have the ability just to go to an app store and buy a new service, let's say an insurance product. And with that, those companies can then embed in the ability to communicate and collaborate without having to spend a lot of time and money to do that. So in the enterprise level, they're buying these Microsoft services, which are in the cloud, which enable these capabilities.
Great.
So it has their branding. You as a customer can put all your branding on it. But at the end of the day, you're not having to worry about deploying those services.
Yeah, this is great because I don't have to spin up servers or expand my IT staff or my data centers. I can take advantage of this and provide these services either internally to my employees or my customers really easily. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Awesome.
And you know, the traditional things when you think about that, like disaster recovery, scale, security, are all embedded as part of that. Single sign-on even, right? And so it becomes more transparent for your end consumption of your employees as opposed to what's happening. In fact, we even have an enterprise mobility suite in the cloud to roll those applications, internal applications out across a multitude of devices, just yet another service you could leverage as an example. So now I don't even have to worry about an IT staff person deploying those applications to machines as they have done in the past. No matter what machine you're on, you get access to those assets. They're isolated from your personal assets. Once again, I said these are my personal devices. So it gives you an example of how I can separate that personal environment out from the business environment. When I leave Microsoft, if that happens one day, or when it happens, I should say, eventually, you know, I'll have the ability to remove the Microsoft assets, but not my personal assets. So the employee can have that experience that is richly integrated, yet keeps those corporate assets secure.
Great.
And I think, you know, for another area there is just to go in a little more detail around what's possible from employees. And, you know, I think this is an area that, you know, we don't spend enough time really talking about how we empower the employees to be more efficient and more productive. And so, you know, what we might want to do here is, I wonder if we could just tell a customer story around what's going on here. Do we have that ability to maybe tell a customer story?
That sounds good. I think we can pop that video.
Kennametal does really, really heavy-duty material science work, and we're the best in the world at it. The industries we serve are very diverse. Automotive, aerospace, mining, road construction, oil, and so on. Information is the key to making decisions, learning from them, and going forward. One of the challenges that we have is taking data from credible sources and putting it in one place so that we can develop and deliver better products to our customers faster. I can take a lot of data from a lot of sources, put it in Power BI, and present information in easy form for our executives and our leaders in the company to see. Once you get the models built, natural language query opens it up to every single employee in the company, from the shop floor to our CEO, even to our board of directors. I ask a real life question and I get a real life response like that. And Cortana is a really nice extension of some of the analytics work that Microsoft's doing, and I think a game changer for the entire industry. The user experience is incredible. This will open up all the information to the entire enterprise anytime, anywhere they need it to make business decisions. We were one of the first O365 customers. And the thing we love about Microsoft's direction, especially in the cloud, is the integration of all those products. Real-time access to data and being able to act on it really increases productivity and provides us with answers much quicker than looking at it the day afterwards and saying, oh geez, I could have gotten this much more out of it if I knew. No, this tells you right then. I look at this as an opportunity for us to better serve our customers and the industry. Power BI cuts the time to response and speed to market dramatically for anybody, anytime. It's really a game changer.
So I just love these customer stories. You know, you can go to YouTube and see a whole bunch of excited customers talking about their digital transformation. And I'm just proud we're a part of that in a lot of ways. If you think about this digital transformation that you heard about, it's really around providing more insight, right? So here we have a global leader, and it's about making sure they can be more effective in their business and stay a leader in the marketplace. To me, that's one of the most exciting conversations I have. I think a lot of people struggle, and again, this doesn't matter what size the company is, they just really struggle about providing better information and doing it at a business level, you know. Where a lot of people used to use things like spreadsheets, you know, you see this transformation where you can do things in a new way. Now, I thought maybe what would make some sense is to really show you kind of what that environment looks like and maybe do a demo of our Power BI that you just heard about in the video to kind of talk about what that service in our cloud can offer you. And so with that, let me just go ahead and bring up that sample. So here I have the ability to really throw this demonstration up. This is actually a browser-based, but we have rich clients. Not just for the browser, but I have my iPad device that I could run this on, or an Android device, or Windows device that I can run a rich client on. But just for use here, I'll show the browser. And in this case, I have a retail example. And so what I have the ability to do is tie the data I might have in on-premise. This data might be in a cloud already, or in our cloud already, or it just may be public data that I'm searching on that I have the ability to now create rich visualizations in more of a business sense than thinking about it as a technology. So, you know, I don't require a lot of infrastructure to pull this together. We're using the power of the cloud and things like in-memory computing. So I have examples where we have customers literally doing hundreds of millions or billions of rows of analysis of data and being able to take that with them even on a plane for offline analysis. And then, you know, it's all backed up and saved to the cloud and shared out to other users in a secure fashion. So in this case, you know, very easy to create a rapid dashboard on the screen. You know, how does that capability look to you, Dean? Kind of powerful?
That's pretty awesome. So in this case, it's allowing me to visualize and analyze my data. Is that what this is, Mark?
Absolutely.
And taking advantage of that. But my data is still on-premise. Is that correct?
It can be, right. Yeah. We give you a bunch of adapters. And so the sources we can connect to are traditional sources and databases, even spreadsheets. We have a lot of services that are available. So I could tie into things like demographic or census data around the globe. And a lot of those services are free. I can even tie into web pages to pull that data in. And so a lot of rich ways of looking at data in new fashions. The other thing that I can integrate in is I can look at my sales, and I can use things like Bing or Google Analytics and look at how people are searching for information. So if I'm looking at a targeted campaign, I can now integrate different data sources very, very easily and visually.
Mm. Yeah, this is great, Mark. Now, what about if I have I'm trying to analyze something and maybe one of these dashboards doesn't have the data I'm looking for. I want to maybe initiate a query ad hoc. Do you have anything that can help me out with that? Or?
Absolutely. I think this is the power of using our cloud. We have something called machine learning on this. And part of this suite that we have here, again, it's a more of a turnkey capability. It's a software as a service and Power BI, and we have this thing called Cortana Intelligence Suite. As part of that, I have the ability to do natural language queries. So in this case, I can say show total sales, and I can do by state, for instance, right, and get a view of what that looks like. You notice that it, by default, is not only telling me what's valid to query on here, but it's also picking a visualization underneath that it thinks is most adequate to show that. So in any time, I can actually show this in a different visualization by just saying something like in pie. And so in this case, it'll show a pie chart with the largest sales by state. And so you have a lot of control, and I'm just using business terms, so I don't need to be a DBA or a SQL expert or a big data expert or a data scientist, although we can leverage those and all of those capabilities integrate in. As a business user, I can ask questions in natural language.
Wow.
You know, I can even show, like for instance in this case, the activity by buyer. And you see there it's one of the fields I can just select, so I don't even have to worry about typing it. And let's just say I want to show that in a donut chart. Here's one of my favorite examples. I was actually at a customer a few months ago where one of our reps said, can we see that in a donut chart? And I misspelled it. And this is using machine learning to pick up those spelling errors that are pretty common and being able to fix that on the fly. What I really love about this is I can pin this visual now if I want to share that with others, either to this dashboard or a new dashboard, and I can take that insight that I just provided and show that out that rapidly. So this is much more powerful than how a lot of people are looking at data today. You know, I'm really excited since our latest launch of this product in late January, we have over 6 million users using this service and just providing great business results around this.
So let me see if I understand this right, Mark. Those queries that you're making there, those weren't pre-canned queries that the IT team created. You're just ad hoc doing that?
Yep, it's analyzing the metadata of the data I have access to. So in this case, it could be spreadsheets, databases, ERP systems, CRM systems. We have connectors for things like Salesforce, SAP, obviously Microsoft Dynamics, CRM, and AX. And on those services, just the information I have rights to. So your view may be slightly different than mine.
I got you.
You know, let's say you were running Europe and I'm running North America. Obviously, the data we're going to see is slightly different based on our policies on data access. But underneath the covers there, I'm able to share the same look and feel, and none of this is pre-canned. So this is all on the fly, just using natural language.
Yeah, I like that because actually it's using, like you mentioned, my natural language. I can just type in, I don't need to be an IT database SQL guy to write that query. I can just use my natural language. And the machine learning in the back end is reading that and pulling together and mashing it up and putting together that visualization for me.
Absolutely. You know, we hear a lot of social integration questions this day, and at Microsoft, we certainly look at, you know, social feedback quite a bit. You know, one of my favorite examples of this is I have an ERP system here. I've created a dashboard. Here's where you see my background being less of a marketing person, not a very pretty look and feel, but not bad, seeing as it's the default view that was created. You know, this view might show my revenue, but what if I wanted to ask other questions? You know, I used our cloud service here of Power BI, but I also use something called Flow. And I was able to use Flow to connect into Twitter to get a real-time feed based on my product hierarchies in my ERP system. So I have a couple of products that I sell, and in those family of products, I really want to see what people think about those. Just by using Flow to connect that up and our machine learning, one of the pre-built things there is to show sentiment, I can now very rapidly, you know, show the sentiment on whether people think they're happy about products or not. And so I can, you know, show, for instance, here negative tweets. That obviously is a Twitter feed. And I could do that by product subcategory in my ERP system. Now I've just morphed two sets of data together that were not possible before, and I want to see this in a pie chart, and boom, now I've got an insight showing that I have one group of products, my game consoles, that I have the most issues with. And you know, you can even further do things like filter it out, you know, visually just by grabbing a filter in, dragging and dropping, but really, really rich to be able to provide the capabilities here and then again share this out for others to take advantage of. And because I have the ability to share this out externally, I even have the ability to make this accessible via my webpage. So let's say I want to talk about some exciting things happening or make some of this information public. I can have this embedded, so we have the ability to embed Power BI into a web page. I can create public links, so you can just give people a public link, or I can secure it and give people a private link to go ahead and share this information. So great capability for you to interact with this information that you're seeing here. And so hopefully you just get a view of what the capabilities are and what these services look like. Again, this is a subscription service. There's a free trial, like most of our services, for Power BI, and you can get a full view of what's possible. For the full suite, to see what's possible in analytics and look at some of the pre-built solutions, look under Cortana Intelligence Suite. We don't have enough time here to show you all the great capability, but what's really wonderful is from my phone or from any device that I'm carrying around, I have the ability to take those devices and then I can leverage my voice on these as well. So we have a whole contextual engine. You can research it. It was on Project Oxford is what our code name was. And these are our cognitive services now. That's our production name for these. And so I can take advantage of things like visual images and embed that in part of my analytics. There's an example of how old am I, .net. And basically what this does is allow you to upload an image. And based on that machine learning, it's going to show you the age of the person in the picture. We even have customers in the commercial side using this to see trademark infringements on photographs. And so some great capabilities you can simply take advantage of in that suite. And again, you can start off right away, even for free, just to see what the capabilities are around that. You know, another example that I wanted to really walk through is just really the agility that you can get. I use that word a lot, but for me, it's so critical. It's, you know, how fast can these solutions deploy? And, you know, I do some support in Chicago for some non-profits helping them out. And if I think back to the weekends I used to spend setting up their infrastructure on, you know, just a four-person firm, you know, that was a lot of work. And they always had to call me if there were any challenges or questions. And that through the largest enterprise where some of these projects were multi-year to roll out new capabilities. Here you see a great example from Kraft Heinz on how you can roll out new capabilities. And I have the ability to do that in a very short amount of time. In this case, 14,000 users rolled out, less than 10 weeks. It's just a great example. You know, I encourage you to look at these services that we have in Office 365. You know, the click to run, the ability to run across platform. So click to run basically means I have the ability to simply deploy these solutions out to any device that I happen to be on. So again, we support not just Windows in this case, but when we talk personal computing, we support iOS, Android, and also we have the ability to share this information externally as part of this Office 365 environment. So that means my customers, partners, suppliers don't need to have these solutions installed from a browser experience. I can collaborate with them. You know, in fact, they don't need a license to interact with the Office documents with me or to collaborate with me interactively. And they also don't even need a presence on an enterprise single sign-on solution. So let's say one of my suppliers is using Gmail or a Microsoft ID. I can simply integrate those IDs in and I no longer have to worry about, you know, putting in a custom security solution or a federated security solution that, again, may be very complex. So very, very quick time to market. So hopefully that showed you some examples of enabling the employees in new ways. I thought maybe now, Dean, we could shift into showing how we're optimizing operations.
That's great, yeah. I think these are key pillars of any company, operations, customers, employees. I think this is great to go over these.
Absolutely. And here you see a huge transformation. Whether it's Microsoft Dynamics CRM or products like Salesforce, you know, offering, you know, CRM in the cloud for customer relationship management, things like call center, you know, relationship management, you know, the ability to just buy a service and put that up and running immediately, you know, and even the extensions to that. Let's say you don't have social today and want to do social insights or social marketing. You can subscribe just to that service. I think that's really where these transformations of the business are going. It's no longer going to be that waterfall process or big bang approach to deploy thousands of business transactions. It's going to be about integrating into the assets you have today, whether those are on-premise or in the cloud. Let's say you have an ERP already today. I can simply buy CRM social insights or CRM marketing from the dynamic side and integrate those into my current assets. And so very, very quick time to market on that. You know, from the customer example side, you know, there's two I really wanted to talk about. You know, the first of which is really talking about Ecolab, which has done some great work around using our Azure platform, our Dynamics CRM, Power BI that in Office 365 that we've already talked about. And the idea around here is really to provide a better way of getting information across the enterprise. And so from this perspective, a lot of capability around going ahead and showing the art of the possible about new business reinvention without having to deploy a lot of internal infrastructure. So here, this is just a great story of just rapid transformation and better insight, both internally and externally.
You know, I think this is great, Mark, because actually I have a customer here locally that they were actually investigating a new business case, line of business, but it required an investment of huge computing power. So they had to make a decision whether or not they wanted to make an investment in their data center in this additional computing power, but then they decided to leverage the cloud to do it. And it was really a no-risk way to do it. They could actually trial out that new business venture, see if it worked out, without having to make the hardware capital acquisition of buying a lot of server and compute resources. And actually, at the end of the trial, it actually worked out to be a great business opportunity, and they're going to move forward with that. But it was really low risk in that they didn't have to buy all that compute up front. And if that business venture did not pan out, they would be left out with all these servers potentially. Right? That's what they saw.
Yeah, I see a lot of that, Dean. I think it's a common scenario. And I think, you know, one of the unique value props you're going to hear this month as we talk through these sessions is not just why go to the cloud, but why Microsoft. And I think this is one of the areas where we just have a unique value. You know, if you really think of the transformation that's happened since Satya Nadella took the reins over at Microsoft, is really around making sure we become the ability to enhance your environment the way it sits today. So when you talk about, you know, existing investments, we can leverage those. So it's not a rip and replace, it's not throwing away what you have, but it's this evolution in a very quick way into new capabilities. And as it makes sense to transition off these legacy systems, you can start shutting those down and take advantage of the new capabilities. But that hybrid scenario and that end-to-end scenario, whether it's a service that you're buying for productivity or whether it's simply moving your VMs that you might have running line of business applications that are legacy into our cloud, we're really the only vendor that has that end-to-end suite of being able to offer that up end-to-end. And so some great capability there in a very, very common conversation. I think the other big transformation, I spent over a decade working in the ERP space, is it used to be a big bang approach where we talk about these long project life cycles, and now we're talking about literally putting new capabilities in days and weeks, not in months and years. So that new business capability is really gonna be about how fast you can go to market on it. You know, another example of this is really talking about a very cool solution here around using the cloud once again to really make sure that it's doing a transition around core capability of accessing devices and information in a new fashion. You know, everything eventually, and you hear this across the industry, becomes something that's a controllable device. Whether it's a traditional thing like a phone, whether it's a light bulb, whether it's a security camera you might have, whether it's your car, everything really has that ability to tie in. And you see a lot of effort. I know in Chicago now, we just got our smart meter finally. I know in California, you guys have had those for a while. And it's kind of cool that you can look and benchmark yourself in real time now compared to where other customers might be. And that rich type of insight across devices becomes something that really is something we see a lot of growth in. I think the complexity that people had, and we talked earlier around accessing information from things like mobile devices, is how do you extend that on without all that heavy infrastructure, with all the security risk, and just go to a provider that can provide that just as a turnkey solution? And that's really what we're talking about here with the WLS lighting systems example. It's using Azure to really enable these new capabilities, tie in traditional line of business systems, and control devices very easily. And again, a lot of customer savings in this, and just a better customer experience. And I think that's really what we're talking about from the cloud capabilities.
Can you maybe go over that example there, Mark? What were they trying to do, and what was...
Yeah, the idea here is to improve energy efficiency. So there's a lot of talk around making sure we're using better use of energy in general. So a very green concept here around this. But I think the other thing is just to get real-time heuristics on the devices themselves. You know, how are the lights functioning? You know, what's the lumen level of the capability of the lights? You know, how bright they are? You know, looking at things like failures and being able to do our predictive model. We talked about one of those pre-canned scenarios in IoT suite. Easy for me to say. One of those capabilities being our preventive maintenance or predictive modeling around that. So really to see why things are failing, you know, why energy is either up or down, and then to be able to make recommendations to those customers to get better use of that information to make better products, quite frankly. So I think a lot of this capability is really not about just being more green and making sure that at the bottom end you're saving money and getting better product, but also getting a great customer experience as part of that process. Customers feel more in control, and I think that's really key. So in this case, if you look at the results around that, you know, they reduced their cost by 50% and saved customers $10 million in electrical expenses. What customer doesn't want to do that? Mm. And the loyalty just goes up more and more. You know, if you look at Tyson Krupp on the side, you know, on the elevator side, right? it shows every industry is really affected in this. And that's another example on the preventive maintenance where they're really gaining not only market share, but creating just delighted customers by being able to better predict when things are going to fail. So rather than waiting for an elevator, for instance, in that case to fail, or an escalator, you'll see a video on YouTube. You can see the details around that. They have the ability to go out prior to it failing and tell the customer, oh, we noticed a motor is getting some wear, or you know, a lift line is getting some wear, and so in this case, we're going to replace it proactively. And so not only do you improve your revenue channel there, but it's a better experience for customers.
Yeah. So Mark, you mentioned a quick term there, IoT suite. The IoT Internet of Things suite is a solution that Microsoft provides to help our customers really get enabled in this. Basically, what it allows you to do is take your product, connect it to our IoT system, and we can take the data off of that, help you analyze, apply our machine learning to that, and then visualize that data, as Mark showed you in our Power BI, our visualization tools.
So it's absolutely,
it's an end-to-end solution. Is that correct, Mark?
It is, and I think what makes this unique is two things. One is it's the same set of tools. So that same Power BI I talked about is what you'd use for analysis across the board. You know, whether that's a spreadsheet, whether it's this IoT scenario we were talking about, whether it's line of business applications. And the second thing that makes us pretty unique around this is the ability to deliver it as a suite, which means you don't have to worry about installing a bunch of different components and integrating those components in. When you turnkey that suite and purchase that suite offering on our cloud or try it out, it provides those end-to-end scenarios. And there's a number on there for things like remote monitoring or preventive maintenance that are already packaged up for you to leverage. So that includes everything from the machine learning models to understand your products better, to the in-delivery and experience from the customer side or from the internal side to see the heuristics in Power BI around how reliable your products are and how to make them better. You know, it really goes into the next key, I think, which is, you know, how to transform your products. So if I think about that capability here, I can really look at, you know, a couple of examples where customers are using the same capabilities of the cloud and really doing it to transform their products in a new way. So here's one example of Rolls-Royce, where we're talking about leveraging, again, we use this term several times today, the IoT suite. But in their case, it's really about using something that they're very familiar with, which is engines, and getting new insights on engines and efficiencies. And this example that we are talking about is about aircraft efficiency, increasing aircraft availability. So if you look at the time life and what the failures are in inspections, using that data to feed it in to reduce failures and make sure when they're actually doing their maintenance cycles, they're able to keep the engines up and running longer. And then it's all around cost in the end to reduce the cost for airlines. So tremendous value both internally as well as for customers. And again, making it a market leader, and well, it's already a market leader, I should say, but keeping it a market leader. These are areas where if you think about it as a traditional manufacturer, if you're not thinking about these transitions, these are where new market players come into place and start taking market share. And so we've seen that in a number of examples in lighting and other areas, right? But this is a great example where Rolls-Royce was able to keep its edge and provide some truly leading industry capability very rapidly, and using that in ways that people hadn't thought of before. So here we talked about the Cortana Intelligence Suite as part of that as well. So not only just using the devices, the engines in this case, to pull data in, but then using that intelligence suite to better assess the health of the engines and figure out how they can continue to improve that product over the life cycle. So faster iterations of improvements of life cycle of the product. And you know, one last example I'll share on this, and then we'll go into talking about, you know, just some customer scenarios that we're going to transition throughout the month, is really talking about Lowe's. You know, from a retail side, I just love this example. It's around providing some great new capability. You hear a lot about virtual reality or augmented reality. In this case, when you think about the ability to go in and remodel in a kitchen or a bathroom, right? How do you go ahead and do that in a way where people can visualize what they're getting much more effectively? You know, virtual reality or augmented reality is a great example of this, where I can actually use my headset, look at a wall, and actually pick and choose the products I want to see on that wall. In this case, it's using our HoloLens. If you were there for the pre-roll, before our show, we actually showed a video on HoloLens. It's an augmented reality from Microsoft and allows you to, for instance, look at a room and then drag and drop, in this case, product into that room to visualize what it would look like. In this case, it's a much faster and more effective way than physically shipping out tile or going and looking at different cabinets. You can see how it's going to look in your environment. And so I think this is really great example of leveraging this new capability. And rather than going out and worrying about having to deploy all the infrastructure for this, they leveraged our cloud capabilities. So in this case, it was a very quick time to market and leveraging the cloud to roll out this capability to see new functionality out there. So you can take advantage of some of these leading edge technologies to really provide new business capability, even in traditional businesses in ways you might not have thought of before. You know, another example of this is we have a builder in St. Louis that builds high-rise buildings, and they're actually using HoloLens to actually help in the assembly process of the building and quality control. So when they look at crimpings and other things, they can actually see that visually. And then they're leaving the HoloLens in the building when they're done. And one of the really cool examples around that is the idea around that is they'll have the ability to go through and show what needs to be maintained in the building. So a building engineer now has some new capability. So really rich and powerful stuff that's coming up. So with that, Dean, you want to go through and talk a little bit about a scenario that we might want to talk through over the next few weeks?
Sure. I'm just looking through some of the Q&A here, Mark. And maybe we can just address a couple of them.
Sure.
One of the ones, you know, data security is a key concern among a lot of the customers here. How do we ensure the security of their data, you know, in the cloud? You know, that's a big concern.
So we have one of our counterparts, Dean Paul Edlin, at the end of the month that's going to talk in depth around security. So for a more detailed example of what I'm going to talk about, I would encourage you to look at that fourth session that we're going to deliver this month from Paul Edlin. And the idea around this is really that, you know, we have an entire cybersecurity investment. We're now a market leader around that space, and it's not just about Microsoft, but tying into the other assets. If you think about how the cloud is built, it's built in this new generation of encrypted all the time and just-in-time access. So there are no administrator IDs, for instance, for the back-end systems. As maintenance needs to happen, you get just-in-time access and just enough access, which is another concept. So for instance, I'm looking at maintaining your system for social insights. I may be able to maintain the system without having access to see any of your data. Those are all built-in concepts to our cloud capability. And it gives you the rich capability to know that everything you're doing is secure at all times. We combine that with our single sign-on capabilities, again, a market leader in the Magic Quadrant from Gartner, around our single sign-on capabilities. So this allows me to go literally to thousands of different line of business applications, whether it's Microsoft or third party, like Salesforce and SAP, just being two examples of that. We can do single sign-on across that as well. And so now I have the ability to manage those IDs in a secure fashion. And one thing I think is really amazing is we extend this on to really do the proactive maintenance of the environment to see what's going on from the security side. So a lot of our Azure assets or an Azure Security Center are really monitoring the systems all the time. So you might have Azure Active Directory on-premise, but with our premium capabilities in the cloud, I now can look at if people are trying to hack into a system. Things like pass the hash for more technical conversation around security. Paul will go into a lot of details on those. It'll actually identify that immediately. Or, you know, if you look at our assets we have where we're actually taking down botnets or we're taking down cybersecurity threats, we actually put all those cybersecurity threats in our machine learning and have the ability to identify machines that are compromised. So if I have a machine that's compromised, I can then take that machine, and when it connects to my corporate asset or to my cloud, I can disable that asset. You know, a real-world example of that is when I traveled to Panama. Not only do I have the ability to still access my information with multi-factor, but if that's a country that I don't normally go to, if I'm seeing access from that as I took a vacation there a little over a year ago, a few hours after I've had access in another location, for me that was Houston, it threw up an alert that might be a possible infraction into our network and disabled my account until I was able to provide personal security information to re-enable and confirm my travel. At first you might think that's a little inconvenient. You know, Dean, if I went over to your machine, it's trusted at Microsoft, but when I logged in, it wouldn't let me log in right away. It would make me actually go to my phone and enter a PIN in, either from an authenticator app, which is supported again across platform on iOS, Android, and Windows, or from calling your phone up and entering a PIN in. That type of security is something that's built in and native to the cloud. You know, one of the number one hacks people have today is via just password being compromised. How are you making sure those passwords are secure? Are you taking advantage of things like Windows 10, where we have the ability to use Windows Hello for facial recognition, and then our passport capability behind the scenes, which means I'm not transmitting that password over the wire? You know, these are the rich capabilities built into our cloud, and we literally have thousands of people every day just focused on the security around the cloud. in making sure that we're looking for new threats that are not yet out there in the wild, and as they become aware, we're securing our cloud for that first. And so I think that allows you to take advantage of that, and if you don't know this already, you can take advantage of a lot of that security and leverage it for your on-prem as well. So subscribe to those security services, just like you do other Azure services.
Yeah, I think it was very interesting. I think it was one of our VPs mentioned that we're probably one of the biggest security product companies out there, but we don't actually advertise that. But Mark went through a litany. I think it was an overwhelming amount of different technologies that we have at Microsoft to help you secure your business. I think probably the best thing to do is, again, as Mark highlighted, in a couple of weeks, we'll have one of my colleagues, Paul Edlin, on to address this topic specifically. But for you, for your business specifically, please feel free to reach out to your local account team to come into the MTC, and we can talk about your specific requirements. Because we do have probably thousands of products. I don't know, I lost count, but can it help you address your particular security requirements? Because there are a bunch of different things. You meant to multi-factor, encryption, reporting, auditing, all these different things we have.
Compliancy
to help you. It all can be applied, and based upon your requirements, we can tune that for your specific scenario. And that actually is very similar to another question that came in, was that you mentioned Azure a couple times. Some of our customers have mentioned Azure, and they said it has a ton of pieces, which makes it difficult to know where to focus and get started. Any comments on that, Mark?
Absolutely. I think, if you think about it from a technology side, I think the first thing that I normally advise people to do is think about what problems you're trying to solve as a company first. We do have a lot of assets at Microsoft. When I started in 96, our bag of things we sold was pretty small in comparison. I think the idea here is no matter what size your company is or what business you're in, we have a solution for you. If you start off first by understanding what that problem is, there's a couple things that you can do. The first thing you can do is obviously use Bing or Google and search on that capability and what Microsoft Cloud will have. But the other thing is, again, as Dean offered, come into our technology center. We do business envisioning, where we actually help you select what products are most applicable to you. And then in that case, we can actually help you figure out then how to look at that from a solution perspective. We do have a lot of package solutions as well. So what I love about this whole business insight capability is to really figure out what things you need to do to transform your digital transformation. So I always start at the digital transformation. There's a lot of assets out there on digital transformation. Figure out what those services are that you're looking for, or even just educate yourself on what's possible. Like, did you know it's super easy to integrate social information in and then use that social insight for marketing? And those are service capabilities. So that's usually where I start. The cloud is not about installing all those services in case you might need them. It's about installing just the services you need at that point in time to really solve business real-world needs. And so if you keep focused with that lens, that's in line with really the digital transformation that most businesses and most business executives are going through. And so I think that's building that gap for IT. And I think it's important to categorize what I see happening in IT. Focused on more of the business conversation, we see one of two things happening. Either IT is keeping more traditional around looking at the services they're offering, and in this case, what we see is the business really using their credit cards and investing in, or even strategically investing in, managing new business capability in the cloud, buying these new services outside of IT, or we see IT really being a leader in bringing these capabilities to solve these business problems. But I think the short answer to that, Dean, is if you focus on the business, it really helps you get the right answers on what products to look at.
Great. Thanks, Mark. I'm just going through these questions here.
Sure.
But I guess we'll just take a quick break on talking about And what we're doing in these series is kind of putting our content in the context of a real company. So this month, we're going to take the role of a fictitious company called Contoso Claims, which is the Chicago-based, I don't know if we can throw up that slide there. It's a Chicago-based company, 100-person insurance company. And we're going to walk through potentially this fictitious company's journey to evaluate why the cloud. So Mark, you're the executive at Contoso Claims, the CEO here. Why would an insurance company consider this, looking at the cloud?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of evolution that's happening in the insurance industry, and as a Contoso executive, I'd be really concerned about making sure that I'm not only gaining market and not losing it, but I'm providing the capabilities people are expecting. One of the things that happens is in the period of what the old version of looking at claims, you might have a claims adjuster go out on site, take pictures, or bring a car in. In the new world, it's about taking your mobile device, taking a picture of any damage that might happen, and being able to submit a claim online. And then even more, you know, most people have the need for instant peace of mind when you talk about insurance product. How do you do that not only securely and be able to verify that it's in, but then to be able to have a chat, you know? And the insurance side, it's interesting to see that when you need to make a claim, most people want to have that either chat or personal conversation on the phone. And can you integrate capabilities in to do that very richly and easily to whatever platform your customers may be on? And so I think that's really important when you think about that evolution. The companies that are really leading that space, a lot of them, if you look at it, are buying products now online. They're not using the traditional agent channel. And from a claims perspective, they really want to be able to have that rapid experience and a positive experience around claims. And you want to do that with also enabling new capabilities for looking at things like fraud detection and other things with machine learning on the fly as you're doing that. Building those systems on-premise is usually very, very expensive and cost prohibitive. Usually you have to make difficult choices on what you enable. You know, the cloud allows me a new ability to scale in a very economic sense so that I can start to try new services, and if they don't work out, there's not a big investment, I can just try different services. I think for our insurance side on Kitoso, one of the biggest aspects I'll think about is how do I enable that customer experience from whatever device they're on in a rich fashion and do that without having to have a huge IT staff and have to worry about security and other things. So yeah. That customer experience becomes the key to all of that. And the ability not just to digitally submit a claim, but then to have that interaction with customer service immediately, I think becomes critical.
That's awesome, Mark. I think it really comes back to those four key pillars. I guess, I don't know if you could throw up the slide here on my screen, but it really comes back to what we began this discussion today about. You know, digital transformation, really, how can you leverage the cloud? A lot of our customers are leveraging the cloud to really engage their customers more in different ways, like Mark was mentioning, maybe through the mobile platform, and then transforming your products, like Mark mentioned, you know, in this insurance company, maybe using their phone to take the picture of maybe a claim situation and transforming that whole operation, and then streamlining their operations by, you know, making it more efficient and also empowering their employees to work more efficiently across geographies. Is that correct, Mark?
Absolutely.
Just really coming back to those four pillars we began the day with, right? Really, that's what we're seeing every day with our customers.
Yeah, and it's around doing this in a very rich fashion, fastly, right, without the complexity. You know, again, you know, I don't have that depth I'm going to go into in a lot of the technology here, as much as saying it's really about simplifying the experience and providing new capabilities. That's really the hard rut we're talking about in this digital transformation. And doing that in a way where you can try new things without huge cost to really make sure that you maintain your market edge or gain a market edge in new marketplaces that you might be in.
Great. And, you know, next week we'll be continuing on this discussion. You know, this week was about why the cloud. Next week we'll be talking about how do you make that transition. So my colleague next week will be picking up that story in that second series. But as a next step out of here, I wanted to share some maybe potential next steps. I don't know if we can share the slide here. Pull that up. Have our team pull it up on my side, potentially.
Yep, there we go.
There, thank you, sir. So really for next steps, you know, we covered a lot of scenarios today, and the whole goal here is really none of these scenarios may address your particular business scenario, but really to share the key areas that we're seeing a lot of our customers come to us and looking at how they're getting value out of the cloud. And so if you have a question or maybe one of these key scenarios maybe have triggered some ideas for you, please reach out to your Microsoft account team or partner who invited you to this session. And you know, we can actually walk through your specific requirements and maybe talk through your scenario and maybe talk about maybe how we can address maybe leverage some of these scenarios or business technologies to your particular application or your requirement.
Yeah, I think, Dean, the two areas there I think are really critical in what you said is that E5 tour is actually the ability to see when you ask what capabilities we have and where do you start. If you're thinking about productivity, to me, that's one of the first places I would go because it's going to walk you through all of our capabilities of productivity in the cloud. And
great.
Then I'd say the same if you look under IoT suite or Cortana Intelligence suite. Both of those, once again, have a tour capability and a free trial that'll start on those. So those are three real easy areas that if any of those set an interest up, I would start there on the tours to see what the capabilities are.
Great, and the other things we have here, as Mark mentioned, I'll put the links back up here if you can pull the link, the screen back up. And you'll have access to this actually in the handout, but you can go to sign up for an immersive demo of any of our cloud productivity capabilities. You can go to http://mtcdemo, and it'll take you to a link, and you can sign up for a hands-on immersive demo there. Mark mentioned a guided tour. We have a new set of advanced cloud services on our productivity stack. We internally call it E5. You can go to aka.ms/E5tour to get a walkthrough those capabilities. If you want to actually trial them out, we actually have trial services where you can actually sign up for your own trial cloud tenant and actually play with these technologies on your own. And you can go to that by going to aka.http://aka.ms/E5trial. We've covered a bunch of sessions also in the past, and we have all these up on our Channel 9 site. And we have a short link to that also. It's called http://aka.ms/MTCStudio9. I don't know if you can show that real quickly there. I think we can go through any of the questions. I'm going to go ahead and look through that again. And let me pull that up. I don't know if we can go to the 2x2 on that. Let's see. If we could pull up, there we go. I'll pull up my screen here.
Well, Dean's pulling that up again. Another area you may want to search on is digital transformation. It really talks through how customers can make this shift and get these new capabilities for their business to transform the business. Again, we see this as not being a Microsoft-specific thing, but you'll see a lot of motion in almost every industry to have this conversation. Any other questions come to mind, Dean?
Yeah, I'm just looking at there's a bunch here. But I'm asking my colleague also to help out with some of these. But what are some of the challenges of change enablement in a cloud services within a company starting to adopt the cloud?
So I think the next session we'll go into detail around that, which is, you know, how do you actually make the move? But I think some of the challenges that you have, there's really two of them that I would highlight around that. One is that I think people think of the cloud as an either or. And not a hybrid scenario. And a lot of vendors actually push it that way, that you have to make a choice whether you're on-premise or leveraging your current assets or making a complete transition. You know, in Microsoft's model, the beautiful thing is you don't have to make that choice. You can determine to say, you know, I can try these new capabilities and move things as it makes financial sense or gives me new capabilities I need for my business. So that's the first thing I think that I would highlight, is not think of it as an either or, but as building new capabilities as it makes sense in financial or for growing the business. The second challenge I think that people start with is really, it's a little overwhelming to think of all the capabilities that are there. But just to walk through a couple of scenarios, oversimplify it, right, to get one or two business scenarios you want to start with, and then walk through how that would look. There's a lot of resources out there. You know, we used to hear a lot more talk around security. We hear less and less of that because people realize that the cloud is a very secure asset. You see government agencies moving very rapidly, who used to be more of a laggard side around adopting new technology, and they're doing it for security reasons, whether that's the DoD with the Windows 10 move, or whether that's other governments that are moving to the cloud pretty rapidly. And so I think that's the second thing to get over, to make sure you understand what those security capabilities are. I got into a little bit of a deep dive there on a soapbox on it. I'm just very excited. There's so much capability there. So I'm not going to go through that litany of products, but the security is something I think you should just be aware of what's there. I think for a lot of people, it's shocking to see those capabilities. You know, if you're using Windows, I would also make sure you're looking at Windows 10, because the new level of security, if for no other reason, the level of security there, since that seems to be a topic coming up quite a bit, is important. And again, the fourth session we're doing around this on security, Paul Edlin will go into detail around that.
Boy, we do have a bunch of questions, but hopefully I have a colleagues answering them online. But we're near to the top of the hour. Any closing comments, Mark? I think just to round out the session.
Yeah, I think, you know, I just want to thank everyone for your time. I mean, we are really invested at Microsoft in making sure you're successful. If you haven't heard that message, you know, that's about integrating all the investments you're making, Microsoft and non-Microsoft, and really about making sure we're sharing in your success and helping share our thoughts around what we're seeing as best experience and practices. I just really appreciate you spending the time with us today. I know it's a big investment, and I think, you know, hopefully you'll see just more and more value of this as we go through the series.
Hey, thanks, Mark, and thanks for joining us on today's show. There was a lot of detailed questions here. Rather than trying to air them on the show, we'll try to answer them in line here. But if we don't get to your question, please reach out to your Microsoft account team or partner or person who invited you to the session. We have experts in each of these technologies who can drill into great depth on this. I think there were some case scenarios questions that came up. So we can definitely do that. But with that, I wanted to sign off this week. Next week, we'll be continuing this discussion on part two with how do you move to the cloud. Today was about why the cloud, why are customers looking at the cloud, and next week we'll talk about how to make that transition.
So and Dean, can you go over part three since we said it's part four security? Yep. Just so everyone knows, part three will be.
Okay, part three. Let me look at my notes on that.
I think part three is around how do you scale and scale and reliability in
that's
the cloud.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mark.
And so then you have the full section of what all the different topics are.
Well, anyway, thank you folks for joining us today. We hope you have a great weekend. And we'll see you next week. Take care.